Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is December. Lots of activities during the month of December for Advent and preparing for Christmas to help us remember that blessed time, that the nativity of our Lord, all kinds of events for families of all ages to enjoy and to point us back to that, to God's word and the nativity of Christ. We have a great event that happens here annually in Missouri, just south of St. Louis. And it's a wonderful event. It's been a tradition for my family and many others for years, and I'd love to share it with you. And there's a lot of history involved in that event as well. Hope you can stick around and find out more about the Christmas Country Church Tour here in Missouri. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone this morning, Terry Pullman, is a member and involved with a member of Trinity Lutheran Church in Friedheim, and also involved with the Christmas Country Church Tour. Terry, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the community where you live, Terry.
It's just a small rural community. We have, other than just the Lutheran churches, we have Catholics, we have Methodists, you name it. It's kind of like any small country community.
Now, you're in Perry County, is that right?
I'm in Cape County.
Cape County. So there are, this church tour that we'll be talking about today goes across three counties, if I remember correctly. It's Perry County and, is it Bullinger County?
Bullinger County and Cape County.
And Cape County.
Correct.
So it really covers an area where all three of these counties meet, and there are about 28 churches involved in it. But let's talk first about where you live. Did you grow up in that area?
Yes, I did. I was not baptized in the Trinity Lutheran Church. My parents lived in a little town of Perryville at that time. It's not a little town. I was baptized in Emmanuel, but I'd been a member of Friedheim. They moved back to the farm all my life.
So
I was confirmed. I actually went to parochial school there until the school didn't have enough members, and they had to close the doors, unfortunately.
How would you describe the history of this part of Missouri, this Perry County and Cape County, Bullinger County, where many of these churches are?
The history of what I've tried to pay attention to, there are very good, solid people in this community. Like the Germans, whether they're, again, Lutherans, Catholics, everybody is as solid rock as you can ask.
There are a lot of folks who, a lot of German immigrants who settled in this part of the country, and you can see a lot of that history in the churches in this part of the country. You can see about a lot of that history of that immigration and what was happening at that time that led up to that immigration. You see that in the history of these churches, and some of it has been well preserved. Tell me about your congregation, Trinity Friedheim.
Well, we have got a very unique church. I'll start with there. It's amazing that you think back in 1847 that the people couldn't even meet at a church. They went from to people's homes to have a church service possibly just once a month, depending on circumstances. But in 1848, our church was founded then. But the unique part is our church building is made out of sandstone.
Really?
And it is well at the time, you can't hardly even see any wear on that church. It's just amazing that there was people that knew how to cut stones years ago and put one stone on top of the other to form this beautiful church.
Made out of sandstone. Now, are there other buildings in the area that you've seen that are made this way as well, from sandstone?
Yes. There's a Catholic church in the little town of Beale that's also made out of sandstone, and I can't tell you much history on that one. But they done basically similar what the Friedheim congregation did. Of course, Friedheim's first church was a log church that served its purpose, I guess, as long as it could. And they seen a need for a larger church. And it's amazing that they got together and done that. And I know that had to be hard work back then to even get them stones. If you see the church that high in the air without scaffolding and cranes and stuff we have today.
Now, and how long have you been a part of Trinity Lutheran Church in Friedheim?
61 years.
Wow. Well, that's a great history to be a part of that congregation. And how have you seen a congregation in this community, as the community changes, as the industry of the community changes through time. Certainly farming is a big part of this community, right?
Correct. But it's not as big. I don't want to say this. There is, like all our areas of the country, possibly, the farmers have gotten bigger and there's less farmers actually out there. But as the farms are getting larger, there is more people that are not full-time farmers anymore, but we still have a really good bunch of people that still come to this church.
So as the industry changes over time, as you pointed out, the farms have gotten larger, farmers have gotten fewer. But because of, thanks to technology and machinery, I assume that's what allows the farms to become larger and fewer farmers. And so that industry has certainly changed. But there are other industries in the community as well, correct?
Correct. We stated, there's towns, larger towns like Cape Girardeau just to the south of us, Perryville. There's big factories like P&G. I mean, it's amazing, and this country area has started building new homes, and it's kind of like any area. Once a new home goes up, seems like another one goes beside it, and another one, and the amount of homes in the last 10 or 15 years just are amazing.
And this community is just south of St. Louis. About how far, how long does it take from St. Louis or to St. Louis?
Well, depending on what you call exactly St. Louis, we always said years ago is 90 to 100 miles. And that's a little over hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, depending on where you start out of St. Louis or start down here to where you're going into St. Louis.
Sure.
Of course, we have Interstate 55, which is, like I said, it's fast to get there and back.
Sure, and it comes right through these
comes
counties.
Right through, very close to our church is only about 4 miles off the interstate.
Now, the country church tour, the Christmas country church tour, started off as a small tour, just a few churches, and it's grown year by year, and now it's up to about 28 churches. And your congregation, Trinity Freedom, has been a part of that throughout the history of this event, the Christmas country church tour. What are some of the things that your congregation does as part of or in preparation for the Christmas Country Church Tour?
Possibly like most churches, we just done it yesterday. We decorate, we make it look as presentable as possible. We print up flyers and welcome anybody from here, there, and everywhere. And it's just amazing that people from other states will come on this tour.
It is. It's got a draw from across the region. I know that we're happy to make the drive at about an hour and a half or so to visit these churches. There's just something pleasant. It starts at 2 o'clock on the 15th, if I remember correctly, 2 to 9 p.m. Yep. on the 15th and on the 16th. You just travel around and visit from church to church. The sanctuaries are open and decorated for Advent and Christmas, and some of them have treats or music and things to enjoy while visiting.
We at Freedom have both.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We have, pretty well every church has snacks. As a lot of people laugh, they're very polite. They don't want to take too much because they got snacks to sample at other churches. But our pastor and a group of people get together and play Christmas songs on guitars, fiddles, and things at our church on Thursday evenings, usually.
So there will be music at Trinity and Freedom.
Live music. Yes.
Very nice to point that out. It is nice. Some of the churches will have their choirs rehearsing or choirs presenting music on that evening, and some are more quiet on that evening. But a nice place to visit and see all the preparations for Advent and Christmas. Now, you're involved with some of the decorating as well. Is that right?
Yes. Like I said, we finished up decorating the church yesterday. We started early in the week because there's call for some chance of rain to decorate on the outside. We finished that up before, but we invite anybody to come who wants to help us, and we kind of got our decorations down pat where everybody kind of knows what they're doing. It takes several hours to get tree up, all the decorations around the altar and everything. like almost all churches I've been at, everybody goes out a little bit and makes it nice Christmassy feel when you walk into church.
So many hands make light to the work, and so it takes a nice crew, and it sounds like everybody's learned how this, you've got a nice structure or rhythm down for this decorating process to get ready. And so all these hands coming together to help decorate for this event. And then typically, are there folks from Trinity Lutheran there the nights of the tour as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll have somebody there from 2 till it ends. I'd like to interject something here. Last year at 9 o'clock, just a tad after, a couple comes running up the steps to come in church, and they said, "We made it." I said, "Oh, we weren't going to shut the door." And they said, "You don't understand. We made all the churches in 2 nights."
Oh, wow.
I said, "How could you do that?" She said, "Well, we tried it last year, and we figured out ways to cut corners and close our mileage off of places." And I had never heard anybody say they made all the churches in 2 nights.
Well, that gives them about 2.5 minutes to visit at each church, right?
Yeah. What's that? You think about it. Yeah. I thought they meant it because we was going to shut the door. No, you don't understand. We made all the churches in 2 nights.
Well, you bring up a good point. Since there are about 28 churches that are involved in this tour that are available to visit on this tour, that's quite a bit to try to make in 1 night or even 2 nights. And so you really just have to take your pick and visit a few of the churches. Now, with it starting a little bit earlier, starting at 2 o'clock this year, I would think that makes it a little bit easier to try to cover even more churches. I should point out that you can find the Christmas Country Church Tour on Facebook at Christmas Country Church Tour, and there you'll find more information about the tour, including a map.
Yes.
With 33 locations to visit this year, it sounds like, and some of those are historical sites as well, in addition to the churches. So there are a lot of places to visit this year.
Yes. And you know, at Christmas, it's a lot of fellowship, brings out people that you hadn't seen in years. Everybody's in the Christmas spirit. It's just a pleasant experience to visit with anybody that comes in your door.
And so I would imagine this is kind of like a homecoming for some of the congregations as folks come through, as friends come through and visit that perhaps haven't been there in a while. It's a bit like a homecoming.
Yes, that's a good point. I done some last year. My mom and dad were married at Far Church, who was on the tour. They was telling me about they remodeled their church and some people that came from far last year to our church. So the next night before went up to our church to sit and visit with people, I ran over to their church to visit with them.
so you
kind of trade off, you know. You go to our church, I come to your church.
Now, I know you've had responsibilities at Trinity on the nights of the tour. Have you had some opportunities to get out and do some of the tour yourself? I know it's a self-guided tour, and so have you had a chance to go out and visit some of the other churches?
Yes, absolutely. Well, like you said, though, taking a turn and welcoming people to our church, you don't have as much time. But, oh, yes, every year I try to make a couple churches before I go to Friedheim.
Why have the folks at Trinity in Friedheim stepped up and been a part of this Christmas Country Church Tour? What is it that you enjoy about this and that the congregation sees that it's beneficial and keeps participating in it each year?
I'd say, again, like last year, when you get hundreds of people walking through your church get to visit with people you haven't seen in years, it's just amazing that time of year to talk and visit with people in such a joyous holiday.
Now, have you when you go out and visit some of the other churches, what are some of the interesting things that you've learned about these other churches when you've gone out to visit, or any history that you've had a chance to learn while doing this?
Well, even like I've just mentioned, I hadn't been to that Far Church since they remodeled. It's really neat to go visit with, because I know some of the people there that night that was there, of all things. It's interesting to talk with them and see how they remodeled their church and how they decorate their church.
Now, which church is that? Is that Salem?
Salem at Far, yeah.
Far. all these towns now, for folks listening or who look this up, might need some help pronouncing the towns around here. So maybe you could help us learn how to pronounce these towns. Now, we have Perryville down. We've got that one figured out. And Trinity and Friedheim and Farrar, which is F-A-R-R-A-R. What are some of the other towns around there that we might be looking up on the map?
Well, I don't know if they know pronounce Friedenberg. I mean, we grew up with it, so we just take it for granted.
Sure.
I hate to say that way, but we take it for granted the way that we learned to pronounce the names.
Now, you mentioned Beale as well, B-I-E-H-L-E, a little town there in southeast Missouri.
And I'm sure some people wouldn't pronounce it that way, but we grew up, it's Beale.
What about there are a couple of other little towns, Pocahontas and Apple Creek?
Yes, that's correct. And of all things, I live really close to Apple Creek. I can see the Apple Creek church steeple from a hill on the backside of my farm.
Now, which church is that?
That's the Catholic Church.
Okay, because there's also Apple Creek Presbyterian Church that's in Pocahontas, and that one's on Friday night only. There's no longer a congregation that meets there, but it's a historic building with some really interesting history.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that point up, because that is also Apple Creek. But yes, this nowhere close to me is the Catholic Church.
Have you ever made it to the Apple Creek Church building on the tour?
Yes.
It's pretty neat, isn't it? No electricity in the building.
Yes.
They just they use lanterns and candles to light the space, and they have a wood fire going in there to keep it nice and warm. And occasionally, they have a little organ, a foot pedaled organ.
Yeah, a pump organ.
Yep. And occasionally, if there's someone there that knows how to play it, they might even play it while you're visiting. It's really neat to see how these congregations worshipped in the past, prior to having electricity or indoor plumbing, things like that.
Yes, it is neat.
And that one they still have a cemetery there, and usually they have I think it's a historical society that helps run or host that evening, that Friday evening at Apple Creek, and they usually have little luminaries outside as well, lighting the way up to that one.
That's what I understand too, that the society helps them out, yes. But it's just neat to see all the history and how you think about before they had, you just said it, no electricity, no plumbing, nothing. And think about they rode there on horseback or buggies.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, there's a story about Apple Creek, and I think it might have been, was it Walther at Apple Creek? Someone, their horse had trouble crossing Apple Creek or something like that. I can't remember the whole history. Now, I'm talking about history when I don't know the whole story. I should just stop. So let's see. Other towns around there, Frohna, F-R-O-H-N-A.
Correct, yes.
So
Altenburg.
Mm-hmm. And
of course, you go east of all them, there's no church at Wittenberg that I can think of anyhow. That's where most people, the Germans, got off of boats and settled in the southeast area, the German Lutherans
now,
and
it,
Catholics and other denominations.
In Altenburg and Frohna, we can find, in Altenburg, we can find the Lutheran Heritage Center and Log Cabin College, and that's right next to Trinity Lutheran Church in Altenburg, and I believe they'll be open with a lot of history exhibits in the museum, the Heritage Center and Log Cabin College there in Altenburg. That's a pretty neat sight to see as well.
Yes, and since you brought that up, that is where one of the first students to graduate from that log seminary over there at Altenburg came to Friedheim to be our first pastor.
Oh, wow. So much history in this place.
Yeah, that is amazing. It started right there, excuse me, at Little Altenburg.
Saxony Lutheran Memorial in Frohna, they'll be open as well with a live nativity drive-through as part of the tour this year. Which is, I think, this is a new thing for them. I know they've had events there, live nativity in the past, but this will be a live nativity drive-through on the nights of the tour.
That just drive through there, see the old buildings, is just unique in its own way.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Brazo Presbyterian Church before on the tour?
Yes, I have.
They usually have a giant cedar tree, I think, up in the front of the sanctuary.
Yes, yes, they do.
There's some neat history there about the Presbyterians who had settled in Brazo. Thanks to them, it was many of the German Lutherans who settled in that area owe much thanks to the Presbyterians who had already settled in the area to help them with just a number of things that first year there, helping them with the supplies and the resources that they needed to establish their community.
And not to correct you, around here we've known it as Brazo.
Brazo. All right. Yeah. Well, see, that's why I asked.
I hate to say that, but that's a grip. That's the way I was always told it was pronounced.
Well,
Brazo.
That's why we're bringing them up on here, so that so that we're using the right names here, at least how they're pronounced locally. Then there's Crosstown. That's a little bit further north, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And east.
And east. So there are a few churches in Crosstown as well. Now, I will say, in the past, I've tried to use GPS to find my way around these. It hasn't worked so well in the past.
I was wondering if you don't lose signal someplace.
Well, not only that, it's just sometimes the addresses don't translate very well to GPS.
Yes, yes, I can understand that too.
Because of some of the county roads and things like that are a little bit hard. There is a handy map available, though, on the Christmas Country Church Tour Facebook page that you can download as a PDF, and that'll help get you around. And the nice thing is, when you visit one church, they and you want to let them know where you're going to the next church, they can give you directions generally to the next church.
Absolutely, that's a unique thing right there in itself. So now, which way do we turn? We get out of here and ask which church you want to go to. And you're right. If we know a shorter cut, we can get them there.
In the past, we mentioned, you know, visiting at each one of these churches and some of the decorations. Some of them have treats as well. Is there a longstanding tradition of a specific treat at Trinity in Friedheim that shows up at the Christmas Country Church Tour?
I can't say it's tradition of any one single thing, but we never run out of something to snack on.
I one year my nephew came along and he kept track of all the cookies that at each church. He kept a record, a log of all the cookies that he had at each church as he visited.
That's why I said you got to pace yourself.
That's right. That's right. Some of them have all kinds of sweet treats, cookies, and things like that. Christmas time sweets, and some of them have it's deer season. Some of them have deer sausage out and cheese and things like that to so a little nosh to enjoy while you visit and reflect on the season.
Yes. Yes.
Now, are you planning to get out and visit some this year, or are you on duty the whole time at Trinity this year?
I plan on getting out and visiting myself, but I'm on duty too, if you want to call it that, yes.
All right. Which night?
I enjoy visiting with the people as they come in.
Absolutely.
Really,
well, which night are you on duty at Trinity?
I kind of wait and see who hasn't filled in something, and I usually fill in somewhere in between.
Very good. Well, I hope that it all goes well, and go visit Trinity Lutheran Church as part of the Christmas Country Church Tour. What's the address of Trinity? What road is it located on?
It's located on Road 416 off of Route KK.
All right.
I'm sorry, 415. I even said that wrong. 415, I'm sorry.
3700 County Road.
3700 County Road.
415 in Friedheim. Terry, thanks so much for being my guest today, and God's blessings on the upcoming Christmas Country Church Tour and the many years that Trinity has been involved in that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to revisit a conversation, one that I find very helpful every year as you look forward to the holidays and have a loved one who is on the autism spectrum, faces some of you're facing some of those questions. How do we care for them? How do we approach the holidays in a joyful way? Stick around. More Faith and Family on the way.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
While many have questions about a Trump administration, let me tell you, he's off to a very good start. Look at the people he's surrounding himself with. Georgia Senator Jeff Sessions was appointed Attorney General. He's solidly pro-life and reveres the Constitution. Pro-life South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley was named ambassador to the UN. This is important because the UN has been a powerful tool of international pro-abortion activists. Georgia Congressman Tom Price, who will head up the Department of Health and Human Services, is also pro-life. Life issues are regularly impacted by this area. Chief of Staff Rentz Priebus is very pro-life, as is Trump's top advisor Steve Bannon. Dr. Ben Carson is heading up HUD, and there are others. Yes, we're off to a good start.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Have you considered making gifts to KFUO using securities? While considering your year-end contributions to KFUO, think about other ways of giving that may offer significant tax benefits, especially with higher appreciated securities. If you have questions about using securities for gifts or other possible assets, call Mary at 314-996-1518. We'll send a representative out to help answer your questions about using non-cash assets for gifts to your favorite radio station, Worldwide KFUO.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll begin a series, Are Social Progressives Anti-Science?, talking with Scott Klusendorf about abortion and Wesley Smith about euthanasia. We'll conclude our series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple from John chapter 2.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
This is President Harrison. The LCMS is blessed by its exceptional volunteers to bring the love of Christ to others through humble yet inspiring acts of service. Philippians 1:3-5 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. May you be blessed and joy-filled.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Friday afternoon at 2 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Wednesday, December 11th. A chilly day here in the Midwest. Nice and chilly and cold. But as we think about the holidays, quite often we warm up and maybe have questions about the holidays. Some of us approach the holidays with a little bit of angst and anxiety. And some of that may come from thinking about how do we approach the holidays, all the festivities that surround the holidays, when we have a child or a loved one who is dealing with autism, being on the autism spectrum. And so we're going to talk with our friends from the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services Cooperative this morning and get some answers to those questions. Joining us by phone this morning is Olivia Schuler, teacher at the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Good morning, good morning, Olivia. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Andy. Thank you for inviting us.
I guess it's afternoon for you there, huh?
It is, truly. It's so cold.
So we're in Lafayette, Indiana. Also joining us by phone this morning, Aaron Phillips, administrator at the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great. Glad to have you both with us. Is it just as cold there as it is here? It's barely 30, I think, here.
It was below zero this morning when we left home, so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was pretty cold this morning. The wind chill was pretty chilly here, too. Well, tell us a little bit about, Olivia, can you tell us what is GLASS, or Greater Lafayette Area Special Services?
We are people who work to support the special education services in the local school corporations. And we may be in classrooms, we may be doing research, we may be writing grants. It's a variety of responsibilities to support the local school corporations.
But everything you do comes back to supporting students with special needs. Is that correct?
That is correct. We focus on students with special needs and training for teachers in special education techniques and strategies.
We hear about autism a lot in news and media all over the place, but and now we hear the term autism spectrum. Can you give us an idea of what that, what in layman's terms, what does the autism spectrum mean?
I'll give you a try from what I'm learning. It's not something that is easily measured by, let's say, blood tests or breathing rates or things like that. It's a way that we organize behaviors that are showing difficulties with social communication and social interaction, thinking about maybe social and emotional reciprocity. And by that, we think about unusual social approaches, or like right now, I'm feeling nervous about the back and forth of our conversation.
You're doing great.
But someone with autism might feel even more difficulty, or might not have a way to take those turns. Some of the people with autism might have difficulty sharing their interests. Sometimes communication is more than just the words that we say, but it's also our nonverbal behaviors. So I might have difficulty looking you in the eye, or I might be able to look you in the eye, but I can't organize the rest of my body to give you those nonverbal messages that I'm interested. Or it might be that I don't know how to look at your face and understand your expression of humor or anger or frustration. And then with those challenges, it might seem that I have difficulty initiating or, let's say, developing and maintaining a relationship. And that might look like or might show up in that I don't know how to readjust my behavior mm-hmm. in different situations. Or I might have difficulty with imaginary activities. You know, like when Erin and I are doing something, she might have a game in her mind, but I might not be able to jump into her imaginary game. Or sometimes I might really not have an interest at all in what she's doing, and that's okay too, but those are barriers. The other parts that we think of as barriers might be so much restriction or such an intense interest in something that is restricted that it gets in the way of how you handle yourself or how you go visiting or mm-hmm. engage with other people. So we talk about restricted behavior.
So it comes down to primarily behavior. But mm-hmm. it sounds like it covers, it could be a number of things. So I guess that's where the word spectrum comes in. It could be a number of different things. So on one end of the spectrum, we have, one type of situation, and the other end of the spectrum, something different. And you talked about those. Some of those might be just having difficulty with imagination, jumping into something that's imaginary. So that can really create, I guess, when it comes to... Mm-hmm. So, as you said, social interaction and social and reciprocity, that really could create some challenges or questions or difficulties when it comes to this time of year, right? With
sure.
all the festivities.
Sure enough. And it really becomes knowing each individual.
Mm-hmm. Erin, how might being on the autism spectrum affect interaction during, holiday get-togethers, Christmas programs or things like that? How might it affect a student or even an adult on the autism spectrum?
Right. And first of all, we'd like to say thank you for calling us today. We really, really love supporting our special needs individuals. not just here in the Lafayette area, but everywhere, and love to give advice to any family members or friends of those who have children in the autism spectrum. As the holidays approach, it can be difficult because one thing about the students that we often see is keeping things in routine and in order. And as we know with holidays, that becomes unraveled a little bit. So that can make it really, really difficult for our children. But it doesn't mean the holidays should stop. You know, as we know, the holidays are about friends and family, and that's what we want all of our families to continue to do, is to enjoy your time with the friends and families. And one thing that can really start helping is to educate your friends and families on what is autism and what that may look like, and specifically what could a meltdown possibly look like when you get together, just so that friends and families are prepared if we're having an off day, what that might look like. But there are a lot of things that we can do together that you can work with everybody to help make the holidays a little more smooth. Definitely. And one thing to keep in mind, as Olivia pointed out, is that oftentimes people with the autism spectrum have difficulty with emotional responses and keeping things out of routine. For example, if your company comes over to the house, this may be difficult because that is out of our routine. Or your meal that you had that night was out of routine, it wasn't at the same time, or the decorations in the home are different. Other things that can be challenging around this time, or outside friends and families might be looking for a bigger emotional response to a situation than that your child can offer. For instance, opening a present, the child may open it, look at it, and put it aside and move on to the next thing. It doesn't mean that the child doesn't really enjoy the present. It's just that we have to remember that our social and emotional attachments are different in those situations.
Certainly.
But we definitely recommend on our end to not stop the holidays. The holidays shouldn't be stopped because of a child with autism. They can be enjoyable.
And I suppose there are ways that we could see these some of these unique qualities,
sure,
as gifts. As you were talking about,
absolutely,
the routine being so important to, mm-hmm, someone on the autism spectrum, and that took me to, you know, made me think of one of the students I work with in Sunday school, and he is so sharp on what time it is and where we should be and what,
yes,
time we should be, and how you know, thinking about, we could really use that as a gift to help, mm-hmm, us stay on track. I could probably,
yep,
use him in my daily life to help me stay on my,
yep,
schedule here.
Yep.
You know, how those types of things can be really considered, mm-hmm, a gift, and you can emphasize those and utilize those, I guess, during,
yeah,
holiday gatherings too. Is it time for the dinner or for the toast or,
mm-hmm,
for, you know, if you have those times set, it might be out of the routine, but,
yes,
but they might be able to help you stay on track
on
with those.
On routine, which is really good. And that is, we have some holiday advice that we can share. And we also have some just general advice in general. And on both of those lists would be trying to keep routine as routined as possible.
Mm-hmm.
To continue that, and that is great to have the child help be the leader in that situation. That gives ownership and independence and makes their child feel really good about themselves.
And Andy, I imagine you might have an Advent calendar,
mm-hmm,
or an Advent wreath that you're using with your class or your family, and that's one of the strategies that Aaron might talk about, where you're setting up a countdown to,
sure,
an event. Or a day that is the same, a day that is different. For example, the 5 days of school, then Saturday, and then maybe Sunday with you at church. Those are different kinds of days.
So, sure,
your Advent calendar can be a very useful tool, and you could blend in particular events within that calendar.
Because it's creating a structure that,
mm-hmm,
that is,
yes,
meaningful.
Absolutely.
That makes sense to me. I before we go into into questions further, I do want to give our listeners a chance, if they have a question today, I want to give them a chance to join the conversation today. So if you are listening and have a question for our guest today about students or children on the autism spectrum and the holidays, feel free to give us a call. Here in the St. Louis area, the number is 314-821-0850, or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. org. I apologize, our 800 number is down today, but you can call us on the St. Louis line, 314-821-0850. If you're outside of the St. Louis area, that's going to be a long distance number for you. Or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Now, before I take a little pause there, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, gift giving, and gift giving and receiving gifts and some of the challenges that you might face there. What can we do to help prepare for that moment? I know we talked about, you know, talking with friends and family about, you know, be prepared.
Yep. There's a lot of things that you can do with gift giving. One suggestion would be a social story. And what social stories are used for is to narrate and walk through what an event may look like. So in a school setting, sometimes we use a social story to say, this is how we sit at our desk. And we go step by step by step. Well, we can do the same thing with opening presents. We can have a social story that walks us through, first I sit, then I unwrap, then I open, and we may want to include in there, then I say thank you. Mm-hmm. And then not only using a book or a visual, we may actually want to do that with the present itself and practice that. We might also want to practice taking turns opening presents. One of the things in speaking with our families is they'll say around the holidays, every child loves opening presents, as we know.
Absolutely.
And this is not uncommon, even for children not on the autism spectrum, to want to rush through their presents. So we need to make that pretty clear. But sitting down and doing a pretend night where it's back and forth, first my turn, then their turn, if that's how your family chooses to do that, that can be very helpful. Another thing that one of the parents had said, we talked to parents prior to coming on tonight because we had a lot of research, but we also wanted to hear it from the parents, was wrapping your child's presents in the same colored paper was very helpful because the child could visually see there are five presents. When that is done, I am done. Instead of maybe thinking the other present is for me or I'm going to open all of them, that way that's a visual cue that's really easy and you say all of your presents are with the snowflakes on there.
That's so funny. That my parents did that for us all along.
It can do that. It can make it really nice. And other families have shared with us that sometimes they sit in a circle, so it's very structured, and they take turns by sitting in a circle. So it's very obvious who goes next when doing that. But we want to really practice the skills that are important to your family. If saying thank you after the present is really important, then that needs to be maybe practiced prior. If throwing the paper away after opening the gift is something that's going to be expected on Christmas Day, we're going to want to do that because we're going to try to mimic how we've learned it and practice. Practice does help in these type of situations. But there are always factors we have to remember, and that's when anxiety may come through. We had talked to a parent that with trick-or-treating had practiced what that would look like, and they went door-to-door with a practice situation. And the one thing that they failed to practice was what happens when you ring the doorbell and somebody doesn't answer. And that's when a meltdown or anxiety triggered. So we have to remember the unknown may happen, and that's okay. But what can we do to help support the child if the unknown happens? Because as we know, it's the holidays and there's family and things may happen.
Right. That's so true. In practicing the presence, you gave me a good idea. One way to practice is maybe for a week or two before the family get together, before the holiday, the Christmas party or whatever it may be, to have just really tiny presents for them to practice opening and to go through just leading up to that event they have something to practice with.
That's a great idea.
And sometimes taking pictures of that, you could make a little schedule.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then you would have, sometimes we call them first then later schedules. First you do this, then you do this, then you do that. You can have that as a visual reminder, and that can sometimes be helpful. Or I do three presents, then I throw it away, then I get to drink what I want to drink.
All good advice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those are all great ideas for gift giving. When it comes to the parties and festivities, large groups coming together, does that raise an issue for or a concern for children in the autism spectrum that, you know, we have, instead of four people in our house, we now have 25 people in our house. What kind of questions does that raise?
It can raise a lot of questions. It can cause high anxiety moments. It can cause some children to have increased behavior moments, but it can also have children that separate. Their way of coping with that may be to not be part of the group, and they want to be alone. And what you can do prior to that is, as we keep saying, there is always planning that mm-hmm. is typically required. But you can start with a photo book and go through, if you have photographs of the people that would be coming to the home, look through those photos and say, this is Grandpa, this is Grandma, they will be coming over, they will be in our house. And you can even do it with even M&Ms. Each person is a representative of an M&M, and so they can get a concept of what maybe 20 looks like versus the family of four. So that is a really good idea, and they can go through and go through the pictures. Again, the social narrative of what that would look like. But when you bring others into your home, or you travel, because for some of our families,
right.
we're traveling to other homes,
right.
you may want to think ahead in terms of what is that security item that your child likes. For some students, it's, you know, an iPad, a special toy, or a blanket that makes them feel secure. So bringing that into the other person's home so that if there is downtime, we want our children to blend in as much as they can, but we have to keep it, we have to remember this is a high anxiety situation for some, and that trying to have your child maybe talk to everybody, there it might not, if that's the first opportunity, that's not the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time to kind of practice outside and do it gradually, not maybe Christmas when everybody is in attendance. And you might want to locate a quiet space or talk to someone that if you're going to their home, where would be a quiet space that my child could go to if they just needed a break? And then as soon as you get there, you find it, whether it be a spare bedroom or just an area in the house that they can take a break. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we haven't touched on are all the different foods that we eat over the holidays.
Yeah.
We have some great foods. For some of our children, they're very bland eaters, and they like the same things. Sometimes for some children, every day, the same breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We recommend to do that. That's okay. If that's going to be a comfort at that time, again, now's maybe not the time to introduce all new foods. That can cause another reason to have high anxiety. So bring the peanut butter sandwich if you need to. It's okay.
Something else that may trigger anxiety or noticing of differences is fragrances.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
often with candles, if we are using winter pine cuttings, things like that may or may not be an issue. So sometimes the hosting family to ask what are the needs of the guest family, or the guest family to ask the host, what's your home going to be like? We have special challenges, some smells, maybe lights, or as you mentioned at the beginning, temperature. Frankly, some of us do better when we are in warm temperatures, when we don't have to wear as many clothes, and some of us like to have very tight and restrictive clothing and blankets. So even the temperature of the event and the clothing necessary could make a difference.
One other thing that comes to mind when we were talking about traveling, whether in our, you know, whether they're coming to our home or we're going to someone else's home, quite often the overlooked members of the family, the pets.
And oh, the pets. Yes.
What role do pets play in this, in the, you know, family get-togethers and parties and things when it comes to children with on the autism spectrum?
I would say that these type of children are no different than any other child. We have, in a previous school I worked in, therapeutic dogs that would come into the classrooms, and it didn't matter if the child had autism or, let's say, Down syndrome, that certain children love animals and certain children don't. It's kind of that when it mm-hmm. comes to pet, it's the rule is the rule. Of course, always saying this family has a dog, you know, and if you know they have a dog and your child is afraid of a dog, like any other child, I would just say my child is afraid of a dog. I know when members come to my house, I know we have one particular friend's daughter who is afraid of our dog. So I always make sure the dog is kind of put up when this child comes over. And so I would say that's pretty typical of all children at
sure.
this point.
Good advice.
I think really what Erin just said, any individual with any gift or any disability is the same as everyone else. It's just some things are more intense or less intense.
And that brings me to another question. When interacting with family members who maybe you're not around as much, who just don't understand, and they just think, you know, little Johnny, he can't behave, and they just don't understand, why can't you, you know, what are you doing wrong? You can't get your son to behave.
Exactly. We've run into this a lot, and actually a lot of our parents seek out other parents with children with autism or special needs because they often feel like they're being looked upon for their child's maybe meltdown or negative behavior, which is not all the time. We want to stress that we don't want to label autism with always having negative behaviors because there's so many children that is not the case. And or if we have a meltdown, it might just be very infrequent. So I want to make that really clear. But that does happen in situations. And the one thing we need to remember is these families and these children have ears, and we shouldn't make the focus of our holidays about their behavior. The family's feeling enough pressure as it is to come to a social event. I'm sure they're feeling very on edge to make sure it's not their child who maybe is doing something, just as any parent would. And we need to try our best. If you have someone in your family that's bringing a child with special needs, one thing you could do is try to give them a break. Maybe interact, if you're comfortable with the child, interact with the child so that the family can take a break, because that oftentimes our families with special needs children, they do not get a break ever. And it would be really nice for them to get 15 minutes with another adult to have conversation with.
Yeah.
And if there is a negative behavior, again, that's kind of why we were talking ahead of time, if the parents can talk to whoever that is and just say, here's what you might see, this is part of what we work with every day, I'm sorry if this happens, that way they know that this is something the parent is aware of. It's not something the parent's just ignoring. And again, with all children and all parents, we know what's an acceptable behavior to one parent might not be to another parent. We all have different scales of what's acceptable behavior. So that's just part of the holidays and the love of families all getting together.
And so that's probably good advice for anyone, regardless of whether autism spectrum is included and involved or not.
True. But I think the biggest thing I'd like to stress again is having friends with children with special needs, that I just know the times they feel the most uncomfortable in a setting is when they can hear other parents talking about their child, maybe in a low tone across in the kitchen, and not intentionally, but they're just trying to converse about it. And that just really, it's really hard on our parents. So just be as accepting and open as you can. And it's okay to say, I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me? If you have a family member coming over, you can say, I am not familiar with autism, or even if it's another special needs. And what can I do to be helpful tonight? Is it engage with the child? Is it stay away from the child? Is it what can I do to help you? And then that'll really, really help the parents feel comfortable, or caretakers. It could be grandma or grandpa.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, all great ideas. With about a minute left, Olivia, do you have any final thoughts? And we'll come back to Aaron.
There are some resources that are available to people throughout the world and throughout the United States, such as the Autism Society of America. There are different state agencies that people can look up if they are savvy with online. And there are also local agencies that someone could contact, such as even the local school corporations, just to get information. I also am aware that there are many congregations that have programs for individuals with special needs. For example, at my home congregation in Washington, D.C., there's Lifeline Partnership. And so there are a lot of resources that people can talk about and reach out to get information.
Great. Thank you for those resources. And with about 20 seconds, Aaron.
We just want to say thank you for calling us, and we wish everybody a happy holiday this season, especially all of our children with special needs. And we just hope they really enjoy it and have a wonderful time with our families. And all children experience the holidays in different ways, and we just want to make it as supportive as we can for those that have difficulties with change of routine. But it is possible to have a great holiday.
Thanks so much. We've been talking with Olivia Schuler, teacher at Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Olivia, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Aaron Phillips, administrator at Greater Lafayette Area Special Services.
Thank you for calling us. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.